So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And welcome everybody, it's Dan Latto speaking, hope you are today, and welcome to the Property Cashflow Show. Today is Wednesday the 24th of November, and it is once again pouring it down outside. It's just a depressing day, quite frankly. Anyway, you've got me for the next 30 minutes or so, and in today's session we're going to talk about a few different things, all related to property. So we're going to talk about the property market cycles, about where we are and how that affects what we do. We're going to talk about where the value is in the property market today. We're also going to cover property sourcing. In particular, we're going to talk about practicing phone calls with vendors and that kind of thing. I think you'll get a lot of value out of that. And then finally, to finish off, we're going to talk about the 10-year property investing outlook. So to kickstart us off, let's talk about the property market cycle. So as you may well be aware, and if not, you will be aware after we finish this, the property market has various cycles that it goes through. And what we found in our 23 years of experience is that when sales are going really well, rentals tend, or they have in the past, they tend to slow down. And then what happens over a period of time, it's like a bicycle where you've got two pedals. And so over a period of time, these cycles change. And so rents go up and then the property sales cycle slows down. And what's really weird about where we are right now is obviously the property sales are absolutely flying out the door, but also property rentals are flying out the door as well. So you have to wonder, where are we on this cycle? So in the past, you have property prices for sales slowing down. So that's coming down. And then you've got rentals, which is over here, and that's absolutely flying. So this is where we're at, with this stage of equilibrium, and it continually goes round in cycles. So, like, where are we right now with it? And what's going to happen in the next 10 years with regards to sales and with rentals? Now, we're going to talk about that fairly soon, but obviously no one's really got an idea. No one's got a crystal ball. There's lots of people who pretend they know what they're talking about. And usually they work for people like the Financial Times, as I get a lot of a grief for that, but they work as professionals writing for things like Money Week and The Motley Fool and The Financial Times and The Daily Express money section and The Sun money section and all this stuff, right? And I would have to ask you the question, if they're so good at writing that and understanding where the markets are going to be in 10 years' time, why are they still having to work for a job and get paid an income? You know, the most expensive form of taxable income is income tax. Why are you still working a job like that? Why are you not self-employed? And I get there might be contractors and that kind of thing as well, but they're still having to exchange time for money and work for somebody else effectively with deadlines and bosses and all the extra things that come with that. So all these people who claim to have an idea as to where we're going to be in 10 years' time, what's going to happen next in the property market cycle, they haven't got a clue. I haven't got a clue. We just know from experience that when we call it, we tend to be more or less accurate, more or less. And we tend to read between the lines, and the conclusions that we come to more or less end up being accurate. And so we've done all right with that. But of course, past performance isn't equal to future performance. We're just making it up as we go along, just like everybody else, except we admit it, and the guys working for Financial Times don't. They're still experts, because they still have to be employed tomorrow and the next day and the next day. My money comes from my track record on my decision-making, and so it's not the end user or people buying newspapers that determine how much money I make. My money comes from the decisions that I've made and how correct they are, and so far we seem to have done all right. And touch wood, we will continue to do all right with that. But right now in the property market, in terms of where we are in a cycle, you've got sales absolutely flying out the door, and you've got rentals absolutely flying out the door. And so this section is really for you to understand that that will not always be like that. Just as, you know, there's a selection of property investors right now who believe that interest rates will always be 0.25% or 0.1% as they are now, or they'll be less than 3%. And obviously, I'm not that old, but I remember the days of having 6% interest rates. I don't remember having 15, 16 and 17% interest rates. I'm not that old. But that was, you know, that was an effect that was in place at a particular point in time. It's like society. We think society is this stable mechanism that's been around for hundreds of thousands of years, and it hasn't. Society has been around for, in its current situation, for about 10 years. And before that, that was society, and that was 10 years. And before that, that was 10 years. And, you know, we talk about global warming. You go back 14,000 years ago, back to the Younger Dryas event, global warming was, it was frozen. And then the Younger Dryas came, which was a big meteor, and it changed everything, you know, over the next couple of years. It can change like that. And that's exactly the same with where we are in our society. It can change just like that. And the property cycles can change. The interest rates can change. And so I think that regardless of the property cycle, you have to put yourself into a position so that if interest rates rise, you are protected somewhat with that. So what's the hedge against interest rates? Well, I think, you know, in the past, it's been things like gold, stamps, art. Now it's things like cryptocurrency, including Bitcoin and Dogecoin and SHIB and Ethereum and Litecoin and all the other ones. That is a potential hedge. But one of the biggest hedges that you can have against interest rate rises is going to be paying down some debt. There's no question about that. If you've got £1 million of debt and interest rates are 1% versus interest rates being 10%, that's a big difference. One of them's like £10,000 and one of them's £100,000. There's a big difference between those numbers. And that difference can be the thing that's going to make you survive or fail with the coming interest rate rises. Now, in this property market cycle, obviously, inflation is running away at the moment, and people are saying it's transitory inflation. This is down to the pandemic that we've had. I absolutely don't believe that. Transitory inflation, does that mean inflation will slow back down to 1% or 2%? Now, it depends on their definition, because I think the definition that they're saying is that not only will inflation come back down from 6% down to 1%, it will actually bring prices back to what they were pre-pandemic. That's not what's happening here, folks. This is a big misnomer that people don't understand about inflation. That's got a lot to do with where we are in the current property market cycle. If inflation is transitory, and it's at 6% now, and it lasts for 2 years, and then it comes down to 1%, you still had a 12% increase, and it's not quite 12%, it's slightly more because it's compounded over a number of years. You've still got an increase in 12 or 13%. It doesn't mean that prices have gone back down to pre-inflation. You would need deflation to make that happen. And this is the bit when people are saying, oh, inflation's transitory, there's nothing to worry about. And people are going, yeah, okay, I can take that. Inflation is transitory. I don't have to worry. Prices will come back down. That's not what we're on about. And people don't get this because the lack of financial education in our school system prevents people actually understanding how all this stuff works. They literally haven't got a clue. I remember watching a BBC news item a couple of years ago, 10 years ago, when inflation was 3%. And they're going, oh, inflation's dropped from 3% down to 1%. Have you noticed prices dropping in your supermarket? That's not what inflation does. If inflation is 1%, prices are still increasing by 1%. But a drop from 3% down to 1%, yeah, that's a drop of 2%. But it's still inflation at 1%. And this is the bit that people don't understand. And so when we're talking about where are we with this current property market and this property cycle, you've got to have to take inflation into account. You're going to have to take interest rate rises into account. And I reckon as early as next month, we might have a quarter point interest rate rise. And is that worrying? Absolutely. Have rents gone up to cover some of that? Absolutely. There's a big difference right now between what Rightmove and Zoopla are saying rents are. They're saying rents have gone up, I think, 6.4%, but it depends on who you listen to. The ONS, which is the Office for National Statistics, they've come out and gone, oh, no, that's wrong. Inflation on rents is only 1.6%, I think they said. You're crazy. But why do you think nobody believes or trusts a word that the ONS even comes out with? There is absolutely no way on this earth has inflation for rentals stuck at 1.something%. It's way, way, way past that. I was looking on Twitter and people going, my rent's gone up 10%. We just put someone's rent up 10% because it's HMO, and so our gas prices have gone up, and so we're having to cover some extra costs. But we just put their rents up 10%. Now, it's not a huge amount. You know, they're paying £400. It's an extra £40. It's not a massive amount. And if hopefully they get pay rises, which they have done, because minimum wage has gone up, they've got enough to cover that. But it gets passed on down the line. But your job as an investor and as a property investor is to protect the work that you've already done. And the way that you do that is by making sure that you understand what's going to happen when inflation hits, which it's already hitting, and what then the knock-on effect is for when interest rates come in. And what the difference is that going to make in your portfolio with your tenants and that kind of thing. Okay, so I want to talk next about where the value is in today's market, because I think this is really important. I've had a couple of conversations this week, and they talk about property sourcing, and they're struggling to find deals because a property becomes available through an estate agent and the next day it's gone. And I was looking at some of Zoopla's figures, and they were saying, on the rental side, the average time to rent a property is 15 days. And again, like, this does not stack up with my personal experience. Like, we're renting properties that aren't even empty yet. I've got a property that doesn't come empty till the 20th of December, and the tenants don't even get here till the 10th of January. And we've actually pre-rented that property from the date that the old tenant moves out on the 20th, even though the new tenant isn't coming in for 20 days. We've actually rented that and we'll be taking on rent because we don't like voids, right? But in order, it's a really nice property as well, but in order for them to secure it, they've paid way over the odds, and they are happy to pay 20 days when they're not even there. So when we're talking about where the value is in today's market, for sure, there's an awful lot of value in renting normal bog standard buy to let. There's a lot of value in renting normal bog standard HMO. And when I say bog standard, I mean renting on a monthly basis. I don't mean Airbnb, but Airbnb also appears to be absolutely flying out the door. And the reason for that is down to a pandemic again. All the hotels are full. One of my business coaching clients runs a hotel chain, and just a small one, but it's still a hotel chain. And, you know, they got absolutely rammed through summer. And obviously, as we go to winter, some of those Airbnbs might end up being a little bit more empty because people aren't really going away and staying in holiday type locations because it's winter. Okay. Over Christmas, obviously, they tend to get busy as family moves around. But the value in today's market for me is in normal, regular buy to let. I know you can do serviced accommodation. I know you can do all these different things. But for us, we like tried and tested and simple. And that's where the value is for us. We're cash flow investors. So as a cash flow investor, I'm not looking at making a quick buck. I'm looking at making regular income that's scalable over a period of time that, due to inflation, keeps going up in value, while the value of our properties keep going up in value, and while the value of our mortgages keep going down in value because inflation is eroding it because it's weakening the pound every single time. A pound today is worth, 97 pence, or 95 pence a year from now. And a year from then, it'll be worth 93 pence. And a year from then, it'll be worth, 89 pence. And so your pound is being deflated all the time. This is why we got into property 23 years ago. Because when we're looking at where's the value in today's date, 23 years ago, it was always in long-term single family houses over a long period of time. And obviously HMOs came through, and there's a lot of HMOs out there. And we've got some what we call mini-MOs, which are like four-bed HMOs, but not the five-bed ones. And we saw value in that too. But for us, bog standard, buy-to-let, awesome place to be, and it will continue to be an awesome place to be. Even if lots of new regulations and legislation comes in for HMOs, and you might have, licensing for normal buy-to-lets, but overall, the legislation isn't going to be so restrictive like Article 4 areas, for example. So an Article 4 means that if you want to have a HMO property in a particular location, you have to make sure that you're actually allowed. And if it's in an Article 4 area, you're not allowed to have a HMO in that area. Now, are they going to stop people renting normal one-bed, two-bed, three-bed properties in an Article 4 area? I find that very hard to believe that that's what will happen. Let me just grab a quick drink. So the value for us is where it's always been. Single family lets. I mean, I guess you could do HMOs now. And if you get your HMO now, before it becomes an Article 4 area, you can still continue to run a HMO. But I think the licensing on HMOs is going to tighten up continually. I think the licenses for HMOs today compared with licenses for HMOs in 10 years' time, I think that's going to be even stricter than it is for today. And so that changes it. And obviously licensing to be a landlord in 10 years, I think that's going to get tightened up as well. So I see a lot of people coming into the marketplace and they're doing like a half-assed job. Doing a half-assed job when you should be running a professional portfolio is not going to be in your best interest over the long term. And so you've got to step up in your duties as a responsible person to start running your portfolio. And, you know, that's what we're continually improving upon. We've just got quotes going in today, actually, for new replacement double glazing windows, new front doors, new kitchens. So we're continuously investing in our property portfolio because we want to increase the value. The value in today's market is by offering a great service, especially as now you're getting, I saw something a couple of days ago, and you can rate your landlord. Like, what a nightmare is that going to be? Open to abuse like you wouldn't believe. How about we have a rate your tenant? So then when a tenant destroys your house, it goes on a document that follows them round wherever they happen to go. And so if we're going to be rating landlords, we should be rating tenants as well. But there's another type of value in today's market. And the value, I think, is by adding further value. And that's by, you know, buying something that needs doing up. And yeah, you could do it up and there's some value there. But I actually think in splitting the titles, you know, on a large 4 or 5 bed property, can you split that into two separate apartment blocks or 3 separate apartment units? I think that's where the value is going to be. And I also think that if you uplift the quality of furniture and furnishings and kitchen units and bathroom units and showers and so on, I think if you can increase that, you're going to start reaping the rewards of that through higher rents, because people are going to start paying slightly more for a much nicer place. And also, it's going to enable you to avoid the voids, which is one of the things that kills a landlord's business. Voids always kills a landlord's business. So I think that's where the market is in today's market. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.